Hi, this is Travis Robertson. Thank you for downloading the Lake Norman Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or would like to contact us, check out our website at lakenormancoc.org. We would also like for you to visit with us at a worship service. You are always welcome at the Lake Norman Church of Christ.
We've been discussing Christian evidences, why we can believe that there is a God, how it's more logical to believe that there's a God rather than to believe otherwise. And there are lots of people that would rather not believe in God because it means that they don't have to abide by His standards. And this particular argument that has been put forth is more popularly known as the moral argument. The big term is anthropological argument. Yeah, that's the big word if you want it. But it's basically, okay, we understand that there is a right and there is a wrong. Where'd that come from? Right? If everything happened by chance, if we evolved from a primordial ooze of some kind, or however you want to look at where evolution started, however people have tried to explain it, if that's really what happened, how did morality develop? And why is it only found in mankind? And so that's the basis of this argument is, if we're really just looking for who's the strongest, who's going to survive, then morality should be thrown out the window. Because you just want the strongest to survive. You're going to do anything and everything you can as the strongest person to put everyone else down. Do what's right for you and what's wrong for everybody else. But here's the basic argument. Right is better than wrong. And so it is therefore contended that man's moral nature must have come from a creator with a moral nature. Okay? So that's the basic statement of this argument. But I want you to understand that this is an argument that evolutionists have tried to explain away in various ways and in scary ways when you start to think about it. One man by the name of Randy Thornhill was a biology professor of the University of New Mexico. And back in 2001, he made a statement that rape is evolutionary, biological, and natural. Okay, that's the statement he made. He later wrote a book defending that and basically saying that's a natural process. Why? Because it's an evolutionary process, and that's how the biological system is supposed to reproduce and all these different things. And he came up with all kinds of excuses for what? A wrong behavior. And that's what he did. Another professor by the name of Steven Pinker from MIT back in 1997 was quoted in Times Magazine saying, basically, don't be too hard on mothers that have killed their own children, either newborn babies or whatever it might have been. They say, don't be too hard on them because they're following some primeval instinct. And so it's just an instinct that they have because they've evolved from animals, right? That's where we've come from. So in essence, you just start to throw right and wrong, what? Out the window. And it doesn't exist anymore. So now that's they just try to explain right and wrong away with some of these arguments that come about. So, but the problem is everyone pretty much has a sense of oughtness or some sort of moral compass of some kind. What's his name? Jiminy Cricket, remember him? Let your conscience be your guide, right? In Pinocchio. Everybody has some sort of sense of oughtness, what they ought to do, what is right and what is wrong. It's not always, their standard might be a little different from somebody else's, but we all have that sense. And so the question arises, where did such a concept of what is moral come from? The moral could not evolve merely by means of resident forces from the non-moral. Therefore, the source of the moral regime of the world must be moral. So the person that started it all had to be a moral being, someone that knew what was right and wrong, that had a standard of right and wrong. It had to be a part of who they were. Of course, as Christians, we believe that to be God. Morality can be predicted only of rational personalities, never of mere things or animals. Therefore, the ultimate ground or source of morality must be a rational personality, which we call God. And so that is where we're at. That's where our basis is as Christians. We call that person God. He is the beginning of morality for us. So when you talk about this particular argument, though, we're not going to be focused on true biblical right and wrong, okay? Because when we're talking with people that don't believe in God or the Bible, are they going to be worried about what's biblically right and what's biblically wrong? No. And so it's not based on what's biblically right and what's biblically wrong, or the Bible morality or God's morality. But we need to understand that it might not prove what is right and wrong, but it proves that right and wrong came from somewhere. All right, so it came from somewhere, so we better seek that out. A very famous atheist of his time, Immanuel Kant, a German philosopher and one-time atheist, states that it was this argument that caused him to believe and accept the existence of God. And so even though this argument does not prove what is right and what is wrong, it does prove that there is a relatively universal standard of it. When you look at all the societies around us and throughout history, they all had some sort of sense of right and wrong. They had some sort of law code, some sort of system that people would adhere to. And a lot of times, if you look at most cultures and most societies, killing someone was bad. Right? It was a bad thing. And so you start to recognize that there were standards that met a lot of these societies. So C.S. Lewis is quoted up there. I'm going to read that here. You may have already read it, but I know that some people say the idea of a law of nature or decent behavior known to all men is unsound because different civilizations and different ages have had quite different moralities. But this is not true. There have been differences between their moralities, but these have never amounted to anything like a total difference. If anyone will take the trouble to compare the moral teaching of, say, the ancient Egyptians, Babylonians, Hindus, Chinese, Greeks, and Romans, what will really strike him will be how very like they are to each other and to our own. And so that's the statement that he makes, is he took time to compare those societies and said, it really wasn't all that different. Now, were there differences? Sure. But there were a lot of similarities to each of those cultures as well as to our own. In his study on crime and personality, psychologist H.J. Eisnick notes that criminal activity, far from being universal, is restricted to a small portion of the population, probably less than 10%. Most people lead decent, moral, law-abiding lives. The reason we do not steal under conditions when it is almost certain we would never be caught must be that there is something in us which restrains us from doing so. This is far more powerful in controlling behavior than the rather abstract fear of the policeman. Sorry, Ricardo. but he's right. I mean, why is it that so many people do not steal? Do not do these horrible acts, these criminal acts? Why? Because they have a moral code, a moral compass within them that they believe in, which compels them to not do that. Now, I remember, this is just a fun story. I was probably 7 years old, and I was with my best friend at the time at a swap meet, and He had some rollerblades, if you, hopefully you remember what rollerblades are, and he wanted some new bearings for his rollerblades. And we were in this little market in this little shop, and they had a bunch of bearings. And he decided the guy in charge, the owner, isn't paying attention. And he swiped some ball bearings. And I had no idea. I had no idea what was going on. He was about a year and a half older than me. But we start walking away, and apparently he noticed that this guy was chasing after us. He looked at me and said, "Run." And I didn't know what I was running from, but when he looked at me and said that, I just took off running. And this man came up from behind us and grabbed us by the shoulders and ripped us back. I mean, it was... So that was my experience of stealing, even though I had no idea what was happening. But at any rate, we have this moral compass that we follow. And what put it there? Now, for many of us that are here, we believe in God and we follow the moral values within Scripture and what He's given. But what keeps us from doing those bad behaviors? It's because we have this moral code within us. And where it came from? Well, we follow the code that God's given. There is therefore a universal recognition of moral law. If there is a moral law, there must be a moral lawmaker who has implanted moral sensitivity within the human heart, which, depending upon how it is educated, will either accuse or excuse man. And that's from Wayne Jackson, and he puts forth Romans chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. I'll read that for us real quick. It says, "For when Gentiles who do not have the law do instinctively the things of the law, these, not having the law, are a law to themselves, in that they show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts alternately accusing or else defending them, on the day when, according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men through Christ Jesus." And so there's Paul speaking about the Gentiles who didn't have the old law to guide them, and yet, what is he saying? They did instinctively the things of the law, that moral code that was within them. And so there is this universal recognition of moral law. The problem is, you know, we can't just tell which morality is right by reason alone, okay? Any more than we can figure out exactly who God is by ourselves, right? By reason alone. However, we can reasonably conclude there is a morality, just as we can that there is a God. Logic leads us to morality had to start somewhere. Logic leads us to, through the cosmological argument that we talked about, cause and effect, the teleological argument, design demands a designer, this anthropological argument, the fact that morality had to start somewhere, where did it come from, leads us down this process of determining that there has to be a higher power. Now, Scripture calls that, or calls him, God. So, where did man learn to differentiate right from wrong? Let's go ahead and look at a couple of passages within Scripture. First one being in Psalms 119. And basically, the Bible demonstrates that whatever God does, whatever He commands, whatever He approves of, is good. Okay, that's what Scripture tells us. And Psalm 119, for example, verse 39, "Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your ordinances," or your laws, "are good." Or verse 68, "You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes." The other reference up there is Genesis 18, verse 25. And if you recall, that's where Abraham is conversing with the Lord about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And he does not want those places to be destroyed. Why? He cares for Lot, right? He cares for his nephew. He cares for those people that he knows there. And so that's why he's having this conversation. And what he does is he appeals to God's moral standard. Who God is. You are good. You are just. You are all these things. Therefore, don't destroy this place. And God in that verse comes back and says, if I find 50 righteous, I will not destroy. But that's a whole process that goes through there in Genesis chapter 18 that I'd encourage you to look at. But Abraham is appealing to who God is. To say, you are good, you are just, you are all these things, you're righteous. Well, that's who the Bible portrays God to be. And so in the Old Testament, the prophet Micah declared of God, he has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? In the New Testament, the Apostle Peter admonished us to be holy, but be like the Holy One who called you. Be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And so, the moral argument is basically this, that morality came from somewhere. Right and wrong came from somewhere. How did we determine those things? Where did that come from? It's not something that would just come about by chance. It just doesn't make sense. So there had to be a standard set. And that standard, in my opinion, is God. But as we look at the three arguments we've looked at so far, the powerful, adequate, non-physical cause of the universe, who works by intelligent planning, is a moral being. And so when you look at those arguments, and we as Christians believe that to be God, but that's what we're coming, that's what logic is leading us to as we go through these things. That there had to be someone, something, powerful enough, adequate enough, to cause the universe. There had to be someone, something, who works by intelligent design. As we look at this world around us, it's intelligent. You look at your own bodies and what is there. I mean, it's like a machine, how precise everything is. And yet it's more amazing than anything we can do as humans. And so we understand that there is intelligent planning involved in just looking at our own bodies, let alone looking at the trees and the animals and everything else that is around us. But we also notice that this person, this powerful being, is also moral. That's where it had to start. It didn't start from some random guy. Because if we evolved, if none of this is true and we just evolved, morality wouldn't be something that we would live by. We would simply do whatever benefited us individually and not care or worry about anyone else or doing good of any kind. The only good thing we could think of is what would benefit us individually. And so these arguments are, and what I've been giving you on Sunday nights is simply an introduction to these. To give you the basic foundation of the arguments. There are so many words written down about each of these things, and it would take a long time to read through it all and to study it all. But these are just the basic arguments themselves. And what they do is they help us ask those questions. And when people challenge our faith, well, why do you believe? It's not us just coming back and saying, well, the Bible says. We have something else to say, well, logic says. That it just makes sense that there would be a creator rather than me coming from nothing. And we can give these arguments along the way. And so it's my belief that this powerful, adequate, non-physical cause of the universe who works by intelligent planning, who is a moral being, is God. And I hope that that's the case for you too. And if it is, and you are ready to put your faith in Him, to believe in him, to follow him. Because he's given you not just life, not just an existence, but he's given you a salvation from eternal punishment.
Amen.
He's given you an eternal life, and he wants you to have it, and he wants you to be with him. And if you'd like to take part in that tonight, in the obedience to the gospel, please come forward while we stand and while we sing.